Thank you. Anyone else? Tim, how was your trip to China? Any Thanksgiving? You want to share a few words? Any Thanksgiving? And yeah, feel free to share.
Now, I found out that China is changing very fast. And I asked my contact, my people, it's surprising that the government is relaxing a lot about religions. As a matter of fact, they would encourage more religious groups to gather. The only restrictions they have is don't go against the government. Okay, I mean, so you can. They believe that Christianity actually helps the people. You know, their moral characters and their things, and they're very strong. That I was surprised, but that's what I found out. And the other thing is, I miss this church. I miss the meetings. I wish I can. I'm going to be spending a lot more time in China, but I have to figure out a way where I can hear the ministry. I can still get my Sunday sermons. So I ask you to pray for the people there. They are very open. They're very. They look at the future very brightly, and they know that they need something moral and something other than just business and things. Mm-hmm. So I thank God for that. Mm-hmm. So,
okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Then anything to share your trip to the East? Any Thanksgiving?
Well, as you know, that we went to New York last week, and Irene got to perform at Carnegie Hall with the choir. The funny or sad thing about it, not really that sad. Well, we'll see. was that Irene had her rehearsal on Saturday. They were going to perform Sunday night. Saturday they had their rehearsal, and within the hour after their rehearsal, she started getting a sore throat.
Oh.
By Sunday morning, she lost her voice entirely. And so, but by the time the performance happened that night, her voice kind of recovered, but not nearly enough. But it was still just, you know, in a way, you know, performing at Carnegie Hall isn't something that you get to do every day. But she actually got to lead her choir onto stage, so that was kind of fun. And it was just a lot of fun. We had a really good time spending time with my cousin and her family. I mean, they really love the Lord, and just being able to interact with them. Toby and Micah get along really well with their kids and everything. It was just a real blessing. We got to visit their church when we were there, and God met us there. So it was a very, very good trip. So you can ask more about... actually, no, we didn't have pastrami sandwich, but we had New York pizza. That was pretty good. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. If not, maybe later on. I think the last Sunday was very special. It was Easter Sunday, right? We celebrate a resurrection. It's not just a doctrine. It's a reality in our daily life. Just now, a brother and sister shared their encounter. Someone bought a car. Someone went to China to do business, what he learned, and a family went to New York. You know, it's kind of a little bit disappointed, you know, prepared for all the way and then lose the voice. But I think God has a profound blessing in that as well. You know, just his way is higher than our way, his thoughts higher than our thoughts. We know that encounter the risen Christ lead to life transformation. Last Sunday I share with you two disciples on the way to Emmaus. You know, they were so disappointed, confused. You know, they wasn't too sure where was Jesus. He was crucified and buried, and they heard a report from women, and they heard some of them went to the empty tomb, and they didn't see Jesus there. So they were really want to find out, where is Jesus? Where is this risen Christ? And with divine humor, Jesus appeared to them, right? On the way to Emmaus and talked to them. All this time, they didn't know that was risen Christ. They didn't know that was the Lord loved them so much, appeared to them. It's so true in our life. We in the struggle with many things, and we ask the Lord to help us. And the Lord appeared to us in circumstance, with different people, but we didn't realize that because we are so veiled, so blind by our worry and the concern. So start from this Sunday, we're going to have a new series called The Truly Knowing Christ. And then we will study and learn from the Gospel of John, chapter 1 to 5, to really know who Christ is, so we can encounter him on a daily basis, you know, not just on Sunday only. Like Dan shared early, you know, you don't have to experience resurrection of Christ just on Easter Sunday, on Sunday. It's every moment. So we can learn together. Today is the first sermon of the series we call That You May Believe. And that's a scripture in the Gospel of John, chapter 21. That's the purpose. When you read this gospel, you know, you study this gospel, you may believe Jesus is Son of God. So we will start with a survey of the Gospel of John today. First, let's see the background of John the Gospel. Now, many people ask why we need the four gospel. Why not just one? One definite biography of Jesus rather than four? Because a picture is more complete when taken from different angles, right? Take sports, for example, the player, the coach, the referee, the fans, the television camera, all look at a play from different angles, right? So if you want got a whole picture, complete picture, you need all of them. In similar way, each gospel writer look at Jesus from his own distinct angle. For Matthew, what do you think, what kind of audience Matthew tried to address to? Yes, the Jews. You're right. Yes. And Matthew was interested in establishing the regal rights of Jesus, a king of the Jews. In doing so, he traced the genealogy of Jesus back to David and Abraham. Abraham was the ancestor of the Jews, while David was the ancestor of the Jewish kingship. He set forth Christ as the Redeemer King of Israel, the Messiah promised to the forefathers. So if we give the inscription for the book of Gospel of Matthew, it should be, "Behold your King." He emphasized the kingship. How about Mark? What is the potential audience for Mark, book of Mark? Anybody knows? Yes, Romans. Romans is a practical people. They focus on the activity, the work. So Mark was interested in capturing those shots of Jesus that show him as a servant. So there's no genealogy in Mark's gospel. Who is interested in the lineage of a lowly servant? Nobody really interested as a servant. You don't need to present a genealogy. But Mark focused on the activity of Jesus, which is appealing to the Romans. So over Mark's gospel, the inscription might read, "Behold my servant." Right? First is, "Behold your king." Right now, "Behold my servant." How about Gospel Luke? Yes. Gospel Luke was writing primarily to a Greek audience and the focus on Jesus' humility. That's why he traced Jesus' genealogy all the way back to what? To Adam. throughout his account, Luke pictured the Son of Man as a kinsman redeemer to the whole human race, as one who was willing to save men of every nation. So what would be the inscription for the Gospel of Luke? It's a behold a man. Emphasize his humility. How about Gospel of John? Chinese. Interesting. It's more than Chinese. John wrote to the timeless, universal audience, anybody. Transcend time and gender and culture to anybody. More than other writers, he emphasized the deity of Christ and his unique relationship with Father. He emphasized Jesus is the Son of God. He relate to the Father, that unique relationship, and we can model after him. So behold your God could be the inscription for Gospel of John. So now we know why there are four Gospels, different angle to picture, to depict Jesus. So why do we have John's Gospel? Because John's Gospel is very unique. It differs significantly from the other three. Do you know there's no account of Jesus' birth, baptism, or temptation in the Gospel of John? John didn't record the Last Supper, Gethsemane, or his ascension, Jesus' ascension. No word of the healing or any people possessed by devils or evil spirits found in this Gospel. Is even more surprisingly, it documents none of the parables. However, Gospel of John records something that other Gospel doesn't have it. For instance, the wedding feast at Cana, talk with Nicodemus, the woman at the well, raising of Lazarus, Jesus washing the disciples' feet. You know, my wife and I, we just went to Holy Land. Meaning that spa, we went there, you know, like the raising of Lazarus. So it's just so amazing. When we're there, you know, whatever record in the Bible, it was just a story. It's really happened. It's a historical event. Also in the Gospel of John, he has really completed the teaching about the Holy Spirit as the divine comforter. Gospel of John showed Jesus in the full light of his deity more than any of other writers. So there's a need. There's a need. There's a need for the Gospel of John. That's his uniqueness. Then let's have the overview of John's Gospel. So what is the purpose of the Gospel of John? I mentioned a little bit in the beginning. How about let's read the scripture, John chapter 20, verse 30 to 31 right now. Let's read together. Okay? Let's read. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are now recorded in this book. But they are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life. So in the word, in this two verses, in short, John was selective in the way he recorded the life of Christ, very selective. His purpose was to so screen and so structure his material. You read the Gospel of John. The narrative will lead the reader, you and me, to the refutable conclusion that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. He's very intentional to structure the whole book according to that purpose. And as John have led them to the Son, he also have them drink the living water. He will grant to all of them by what? By faith. So you found out, believe is one of John's favorite words, used 98 times in his Gospel. He said, you have to believe. You have to have faith. You have to believe. So what does that mean? It means to depend upon. Or to trust. Depend upon and trust. So he structurally, selectively to structure the whole book according to the purpose. But the response is you have to believe, you have to faith. Secondly, we want to see that what's the method. How did John to write this book, present? He strategically placed several keys to the structure of his gospel where attentive reader will recognize them. He purposely put some key in the gospel of John. So when you know you get that key, you can understand the whole book. The first key, just as we read just now, maybe we can read again, John chapter 20, verse 31, 30 to 31. Let's read again. The same scriptures. The purpose. Yeah, let's read. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But this are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you, can we go back to the verse 30? So if in the verse 30 you look at which word do you think might be the key words? I know, that's important. That's a subject. Yes, sign is the key words because I talk about purpose initially. He said Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciple, which are now recorded in this book. The sign is the key words. Sign is the key words in these key verses. Sign referred to an act or miracle that is pregnant with meaning. Sign is more than a display of supernatural power, but a dynamic way to point out some aspect of person of Christ. So in the Gospel of John, chapter 1 to chapter 12, John records seven signs, chapter 1 to chapter 12. He records seven signs. And the seven signs all point out different aspects of Jesus as a Christ, a Son of God. But as you read the Gospel of John, as the public disbelief, you know, the opposition escalated. They, even Jesus performed miracles, they deny it, they oppose it. The sign, the miracle ceased. And start from Gospel of John chapter 13 to 21, there's no sign there. Actually, Jesus performed those signs recorded in Gospel of John all in Jesus' public ministry, chapter 1 to 12, or in the public ministry in front of people. But from chapter 13 to 21, there's no record of any sign. Rather, it's recording Jesus' private time with his disciples. So that's kind of like a key. This verse, like a key, to show you, John tried to present Jesus. The sign is very important. The public sign and the private time with his disciple. The second key, we can understand the structure of this book, is found in the verse, John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. We can read together. John chapter 1. Okay, let's read. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. No, in the scripture, this is second key. So he came to that which was his own. Can you tell me what does that mean? Yes, Jews, right? The first verse, it talks about Jesus came to his own people. He was in Judea, right? He told them his Messiah. So he came to his own people. And the second part of that, what does it say here? But his own did not receive him, right? Is that referred to the Jews? They reject Jesus. So you can see that. He came to that which was his own, correspond to the chapter 1 to 12. It talked about Jesus ministered to the Jews. And the chapter 13 to to 19, corresponding that Jews reject him, not accept him as the Messiah. And then we can see the last one. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Coincide with chapter 20 to 21, this final chapter, God accept the Gentile as his children and heir, including you and me, right?
Amen.
So that's the key verses to show you the whole structure of the whole book, Gospel of John, you know. Jesus bring the good news to his own people first. And his people reject him. And the good news to the non-Jews, everyone of us here. That's why we can become children of God. Is that good news?
Yes.
And that's the structure. So there's two keys there. I just kind of use that as an example. So maybe you ask, what are the traits of the book? First trait is simple, straightforward. Not wordy at all. For example, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Very simple, straightforward, and elegant. Not wordy at all. What's the second trait of the book? John used many contrasts. In the Gospel of John, you see there's a light and darkness. There's a life and death. There's a spirit and flesh. Also, he described the story developed from sadness to great joy, from stormy conflict to sweet calmness, from crisis of doubt to complete assurance. So a lot of contrast in the Gospel of John. That's the second trait. Third trait is John doesn't record it chronologically. He doesn't go with the years. But he, as we mentioned earlier, rather he's a compilation of selective story to point out Jesus' deity. So he picked out a different story and combined together, like I share the method, because there's a key. He put them together for the particular purpose. When you read the miracle he performed, seven of them in the public life, public ministry, it points to the different aspect of Jesus. So you'll be convinced he's Son of God. He's Son of God. When was the book written? It's about 85 to 90 AD. Where was it? Was in city of Ephesus. In today's Turkey, and doesn't exist any longer, that city. So who was the author? Based on your understanding, Gospel of John. Is that answer very clear? Okay. Traditionally speaking, all agree that Apostle John is the author of Gospel of John. So anybody know what does John mean? The meaning of John. What does John mean? Huh? Is a that's all right. That's all right. John means God's grace. John means God's grace. Actually, John's whole life is a demonstration of God's grace. Amen. John was a fisherman before. What's John's older brother's name? Anybody know? Very famous. James, right? James and John's. They came from a town called Bethsaida. It's right on the Sea of Galilee. How many of you know whom did John and James follow before they followed Jesus? They follow John the Baptist. Remember one time in the Bible say, John the Baptist say, "Behold the Lamb of God." And John the Baptist was the forerunner, right? He prepared people's heart for Jesus, the Messiah. And so that day he saw Jesus, he just witnessed, he did his job. So John and James just followed Jesus after that, all the way. So in a way, it's very interesting. How many of you know that what kind of temperament did John have before he really been transformed? Son of thunder, right? Hot temper, right? One time, Jesus on the way to Jerusalem, and he need to go through Samaritan. A village just refused them. John gave a very creative idea. What did he say? He said, "Sir, shall we call the fire from heaven, just consume all of them?" I'm glad Jesus didn't agree. He said, "Oh, that's a good idea." Jesus said, "You guys don't know what kind of spirit in you, you know? Son of man come to save people, not to destroy, just because they refuse us." So he had a rough age. Hot temper. Son of thunder. But through following Jesus, living in the presence of Christ, in the presence of Christ, teaching example, and he has been changed. You know what's his title toward the end? Yes, that's one nickname. But also, he's called Apostle of Love. You go to see his writing, you know, 1 John, talk about so much about love. So John has been changed tremendously. And his life really testify to God's grace. First, along with Peter and James, they were part of the inner circle of Jesus' disciples, right? Jesus had 12 disciples. There are always three, right, with Jesus. One time, Jesus went to the high mountain, and he's transfigured. His whole change, the risen Christ, appeared to them, and John was there. So also, we see John has a deep, an intimate relationship with Jesus and truly know Christ in depth. Here are some evidence. The first one I mentioned already in the Transfiguration event. He witnessed recent Christ's appearance even before Christ went to the cross. Jesus showed him about what yet to come already beforehand. That's quite a privilege. Secondly, we see that maybe some of you read already, and you know that on the Last Supper, right? Jesus kind of warned the disciple, one of them will betray him. You know how John did? He leaned against Jesus' chest and asked him, "Who is that person?" It's amazing how intimate he was with Jesus, right? He can ask Jesus. Also, what's John's nickname? The disciple. May we look at that name? Do you think Jesus played favoritism? According to him, no. You can be the one Jesus loved too. Remember, that was written by John. He himself say that, right? Can you be the Jesus love? You know, I want you to listen to this, not just listen to a sermon. I know today a little bit challenging because a lot of information, but that's important. You can be the one Jesus loved. It's choice yours and choice mine, right? But in order to be Jesus loved, he spent time with Jesus, right? He asked Jesus. Do you think John knew that he had a hot temper? I believe Jesus exhorted them a lot, that 3 years, 3.5 years they followed, right? So he knew that. He knew that he missed something in Jesus. That's called love. It's not just Jesus talk about love. It's Jesus' presence is love. Amen? And Jesus, how many of you know Jesus right here, right now? Because Bible say that. Two or three of you get in my name, I'll be with you right now. Isn't that cool? We have worship here this morning, and then with the team to lead us, It brings us to the presence of risen Christ. And we have the scripture reading, and I try to share with you about survey of Gospel of John. It brings us to the presence of living Christ, the risen Christ. And this book is record about his life. How many of you know when Jesus was on the cross, there was only one disciple there? Who was that? Wow. He was very faithful, right? Where are the other 11? They took a long break, huh? And in our Holy Land trip, we went to a spot. That's the spot they say they believe Jesus instruct Peter how to catch fish. Remember, Peter afterward he gave up. He said, "Oh, Jesus, crucify and bury. I don't know." And then let's go back to go fishing, back to our old profession. And Peter worked whole night. He didn't get anything, right? And then Jesus instruct them. They got so much fish. And then they say, that was the Lord. Peter swam to the shoreline, right? And Jesus prepared breakfast for them. And we went there, that spot. And they say, this was where Jesus prepared breakfast for them. This is where Jesus restored Peter, asking three times, do you love me more than all this, or this boat, your future, etc.? Peter said, you know I love you. And Jesus said, you take care of my sheep, take care of my lamb. But when Jesus was on the cross, Peter ran. James ran. They all ran away, but John was there. Also, when Jesus entrusts his earthly mother to John, wow. If you will leave this world, you entrust your mom, your dad to someone, that must be someone so close to you, right? Also, throughout the book of John, John called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. I think that will challenge us, you and me, to be someone Jesus loved. Amen? Jesus always loved you and me. But we need to open our line, let his love manifest in our daily life. Amen? I think this afternoon we have some time for English group get together to discern God's heart for this group and who we are and what we will do, etc. We invite the risen Christ to come. Amen? We love each other. We thank God for this ministry. We're asking to speak to us. Do not be discouraged. We need to look at Jesus. Look at Apostle John. He was an ordinary fishman, right? Not really that well educated. I went to hometown. I went there. It's just a very ordinary place. But he met Christ, the Messiah. Follow him. He has been transformed. He became Apostle John, one of the 12. He knows God's heart so deeply. He wrote a Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Now John, 1st John, 2nd John, 3rd John. And also he wrote another book. How many of you know that? The name of that book? Revelation. About how the Jesus Christ will come back. How that the end time, that how this world will end, about the future. How can he know that? Because he is Jesus' friend. May we and you and me, we pursue that. How about that? In the coming few weeks, few months, when we study Gospel of John, chapter 1 to 5, we really know Christ, truly know Christ. We go together. How about that? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We have this time we can worship you together. We can fellowship with one another. We can give tithe and offering. We can listen to our family members sharing about your work in their life. We thank you, Lord Jesus, you're real. You're real. May you give us that desire and hunger for you, Lord, to know you through your word. When we read your word, your spirit come and inspire us. You speak to us. You stir us so our heart will be burning. So you, Holy Spirit, you're going to speak to us so we know what to do. Lord, we just pray for everyone who comes today, Lord. May you continue minister to us, each one of us, as we struggle, as we rejoice, as we feel discouraged. Lord, you know that. May you minister to us. You transform us in this coming few weeks and month as we learn together from Gospel of John, chapter 1 to 5. You really help us truly know who Christ is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I encourage you this coming week, you can take time to read a Gospel of John, particularly chapter 1. So next week I will cover chapter 1. So we can learn together and truly know who Christ is. Our service conclude here, and God bless you.